a big Syracuse University flag to put up there. I said, come on, I said, Syracuse football, the Carrier Dome, that's me. Oh, we had them going for a couple of weeks to the point where they started getting nervous. Uh-huh. They're dead serious to the point where I was like, oh, I got to stop pulling these people's legs. They were getting nervous.
Yeah. Thank God voting season was over.
Oh, that's great. And, all right, so Jen just popped on, and I see...
Hi.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
I see...
Hi.
Hey, Mike, are you on the call? I see two callers, but I don't have any IDs. Are you here?
Bob is here.
Bob's here. Okay. So Bob, hi, Bob. Uh-huh.
How are we doing?
Hi, Bob. Happy New Year. Everything.
Well, thank you. Same to you.
Yeah. Happy New Year, and here we go with our potential first storm.
Happy New Year. Are you ready, Bob?
Well, if we're not ready for a 3 to 6 inch storm, I guess we got a problem.
Yeah. That's daily.
Happy New Year, everyone. Jason, if you right-click on callers, you can rename them so you can keep track of who's there. Once you identify who somebody is.
Yeah. That. And
yeah. You can edit names. There you go.
And Mike, are you... I don't see Mike yet. Mike, are you caller number two? Or that's probably you, Rich, right?
It's probably me.
Got it. Yep, I see it pop up now.
Yep.
There we go. All right. Well, hopefully Mike's not having any problems dialing in. Oh. Yeah, actually, he just texted me saying that he's having problems dialing in.
Well, it's all that phone repair to it being done on my end of town. The Verizon trucks have been on the Pin Oak Street for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, they're splicing lines up there. They've got 300, 400 lines that they need to splice.
Yep.
All right. Well, I don't have. Yeah, I'll go over some lighter stuff, I guess. We see Mike dial in. I just told him he can call in by the phone number. So we do have a let's see. You know, I'm going to go with this one here. So the multi-hazard mitigation plan that the town and other towns work on with Erie County, that has been officially finalized. As you all know, Erie County has reached out to the town looking for us to pass a resolution saying that we're going to support it. It's been filed with FEMA. The good news is if FEMA approves it, the town, our town specifically, will potentially be eligible for FEMA funding. Some of the things that were in that plan would be a generator for the town hall and possibly some of our buildings. So don't know what we're going to get, but that was all the work that went into make that all happen. So that will probably be on the next town board meeting. I still don't see Mike dialed in yet.
So if we have a generator, would we be able to be considered as a shelter?
A warming or cooling shelter only. We could not be an actual shelter because we do not have proper bathroom facilities. However, they do recommend, here we go, if you flip through that wonderful long document, if you ever want to, you know, have some bedtime reading, that'll put you to sleep, this will do it. About three quarters of the way through, there is a section in there that they recommended to the town of Boston, because we don't have a shelter, that, let's face it, you know, opinions and everything aside of climate change, you know, the storms are getting worse. People are being without power for much longer periods of time than what it used to be. So they did recommend some kind of a community or shelter facility. I've had some conversations with the folks over. The consultant was Tetra Tech, but I had some conversations with them, and we might be able to stretch this into kind of a community center, if you will, slash shelter. That in the event of a tragic scenario, I don't know, 7 feet of snow. Don't want to jinx us, but 7 feet of snow, a tornado that obviously didn't go too far from us to up on Powers Road. I think it was Bowers Road is where that one was. Anyway, that tornado went through. If people are displaced, they need a place to go, there would be an establishment in our community that people could go to make sure that they have water, or we could provide, you know, food or coffee to, things of that nature, and then also potentially a bath facility. So then that's another opportunity that's out there. So that would all be something that we would obviously have, all of us board members would have a lot of discussion on how do we want to potentially use that funds and then work with the engineer to design something for us, put it out to bid, see what that final price tag is, and chart our course ahead if we wanted to do that. So that
using one of the vacant buildings, something of that nature.
It would be a new build. It would actually be a new build facility. And one of the things that, we do have, who knows, because we have to go to SHPO, which is a state historic preservation organization. Say that a few times fast, but that's the one. Kathy probably remembers this. I know the Rich certainly did, but back when the trooper barracks went in, we had to do an archaeological study. Yeah. Which is also what affected us up on Riffle, north side, south side, and for that water project, and they have to make sure that there are no artifacts in the area. So we may have to go under that, but again, we come to the table with essentially land and a place to put it that we already own, so we can kind of leverage that in our favor. So again, all hypothetical, okay. Nothing set in stone. But
right, because I'm thinking that could be part of the comp planning.
Yes.
One of the findings or opportunities that comes out of that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Because
thank
then
you.
We can look, yeah. So, and I'll be honest, I've been, you all know me. I guess I'll say I dream. I try to think, creatively, and I'm always open for feedback and input. But if we have a facility like that, well, maybe we look at moving the Boys and Girls Club over there and charge them. So they start offsetting the associated costs with that. We can rent it out for, I don't know, gatherings or installation dinners or whatever it happens to be becomes a source of revenue for the community as well. It's not just a building that's essentially, sits for vacant. So, a lot of things to talk about when and if that even comes about. This is very early, very truly kind of probably premature to even start talking about, but definitely something for all of us board members to start thinking about, because if FEMA comes to the table and says, hey, we'll give you some money, and it's a sizable chunk of money, we might want to sit down and have a pretty serious conversation to see how we want to chart our way forward. Be a nice thing to set up. So I haven't heard anything back from Mike, and Mike is still not on. I'm hoping he's able to get in. All right, so that's multi-hazard mitigation plan. I'm just making a note to follow up with Mike on that.
Have to allow him in?
No. It's either virtually or, like, for the phone number, just how Bob and Rich are dialing in with their phones. If you dial the toll
right.
number in there, enter the PIN code, it'll let you in. So, not sure. I'll give it a little bit more time before I maybe pick up the phone and try to give him a call, see if he needs any help. Zimmerman Road, I sent, oh my gosh, this is probably the 10th or 11th email. I'd have to go back and look. Sent another email. I sent this out to all of you. This goes a while back. But anyway, Zimmerman Road, up where Zimmerman, as you go over the 219 and it forks, and you have Mayor ahead of you, and it forks to the left by past council member.
Smith Maple? Is that Smith Maple Farm?
Yes. Yep, so where it forks by Zach Munger's, past council member,
yep.
Zach Munger's house. Back when Erie County milled that road, there is reason to believe that they milled down far enough that they may or may not have hit a small little, I don't know. And truthfully, we don't know. I'm trying to identify basically if I know it's not Erie County Water Authority. Originally, Erie County Highway was blaming the Erie County Water Authority, saying it was a leaking pipe. It's not. I sent that email out to all of you just today, because I've actually had them up there multiple times now, and I said, I want something in writing so I can actually really start putting the pressure on Erie County. But when they resurfaced that road, there's theory that they milled down too far, and they may have hit some kind of spring or something along those lines. Well, anyway, water's been permeating through that asphalt. It doesn't matter if it's summertime, springtime, fall. Well, now we've got free season, and at times it's either a ridge of ice in the road or it is it's an ice skating rink. So I've reached out to Joe Donnellan, Bill Geary multiple times. Now that I have a definitive answer from Erie County Water Authority, don't know what's going on there, but I'm going to keep pushing on Erie County Highway to try to get us some kind of answer, because when these cars are, it is what it is. They fly down Zimmerman Road. I'll just chalk it up to that. They could drive much faster than the speed limit. Somebody hits that ice on a bad morning, and they're going to have a we're going to have a problem in our community. So just trying to keep everybody safe, but the county, if you will, is on notice to some respect. Emails have gone out. They've gone to Legislator Mills. I've also copied Legislator Baskin, who is the speaker for the ledge, just trying to get some additional support. So we'll see where that goes. But that's basically the update that I have. But for right now, if anyone was to drive up there, you would see the ice slash slush all over Zeman Road. You haven't already seen it over the past couple of days. Just want to let you know, working on that, because phone calls have started to come in. I've had a couple of my neighbors call me, and then I've had a couple of residents call me.
So maybe to push them, we're going to head up to a lawsuit when there's an incident, and it's not if, it's when, because it's well known. So they're aware of the they're aware of that area and the water, so they need to do extra salting until they can repair it.
That's correct? Part of the, you are absolutely correct, and that's also part of the problem. So unless the snow globe doesn't get kicked and the white stuff's not in the air, the cold temperatures are part of the problem because the water continues to permeate through the asphalt, creating that icy surface or the ice ridges in some cases. And unless the county highway is rolling trucks down the road to brine, which is how they've been treating it, at least recently, unless they're throwing salt or brine down, it's ice. So that's where I'm trying to get them out there to take care of it because, again, it's
not... And I saw it yesterday. There's no signage.
No.
Or did I miss it?
No, there's no signage whatsoever.
Okay.
You are correct. Yep. So once I receive that email today from the water, Len Kowalski from the Erie County Water Authority, that's why I wanted to make all of you aware. But we finally have something in writing, documented, and that's the system that Erie County Water Authority uses to document any of their site inspections. So now we have that as kind of our documentation from the municipal side of things to say, look, we've done everything possible from our side. It's on you guys, and you know, we need you to take some action. So. I'll keep pushing and see what we can do to get that fixed. Probably not going to get any road repair done this year. They did put a new mat of asphalt down kind of around it, and the water actually just went all around that whole seam. So there's definitely water pressure under there. When I got out of my truck and took a look at it, there is a culvert that runs underneath. I don't think it's pressure from the culvert. I certainly don't think because, it's not a pressurized system. I'm not the expert in that side of things, but... don't have a lot of good answers. I'm hoping the county comes back to the table with some answers for us because the residents are starting to get worried and they're starting to get upset because they feel that the town's not doing enough. And I said, I can give you all the emails that we sent. It's not for lack of trying. We've certainly reached out multiple times. So just wanted to let you know if in case any of you get contacted by a resident, I'm happy to forward, send, print any of the emails and communications I've had with Erie County on that one. And I have spoken to... I've spoken to Commissioner Geary on this. I've spoken to Deputy Commissioner Hoke on this. And, again, Legislator Mills. So those are the three main high-as-you-can-go points of contact that...
So the next step is the news.
Yeah, been down that road, but for what it's worth...
Well,
I mean,
again...
It's kind of like this line at the bottom of Rice Road. I mean, I had the news out there. I can't get Channel 2 or Channel 4 out there. I've tried to get Al Vauders or Kelsey Anderson back out to recover that story because that all happened. And that I was kind of caught off guard. I was asked by a resident to show up on site. I think I was my first week in office as supervisor. And I told the resident, sure, I'll come out and take a look at things. I show up, got the news crew there, cameras already rolling. Like, oh, God, I'm walking into a hornet's nest. Well, that was the Rice Hill slide, and they covered it then, but I can't get them back out on site now. So I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the county has a plan there, but again, Rick Zimmerman, there's no plans. Maybe the media is where we need to go, right? It's other than going public on town record at a board meeting as well.
Well, it took Boston Colden Road for an accident for somebody to die, and it took 20 years to get the Hillcroft Bridge done. So there will be somebody having an accident and somebody being sued, and then they'll go out and fix it.
And
that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. That's a tough area. And again, living there, a tough. I have witnessed over the past 13 years multiple cars. They go down that area by right where Zach's house is there at the fork before the 219. They turn their wheels right to go over the bridge, and they keep going straight, and they hit that guardrail or wind up over Smith Maple Farm. I've seen it plenty of times, and that was way before this. So This is a serious, I agree, this is a serious issue. People come off the top of that hill way, way too fast. So I hope we are not, we don't experience another motor vehicle accident after the one that, I don't know if any of you happened to hear, but sadly just the motor vehicle accident on Boston State Road just the other day, and two relatively young people lost their lives, sadly. So just what's going on in the world. Mask distribution, I don't know if you happen to see it, but of course the county executive went out. I wanted to let all of you know on mask and test kit distribution. Boy, I think it's going to give all of us gray hair. So the county executive went out and on one of his press conferences, if you didn't happen to see it, he went out on one of his press conferences and announced that there would be masks and COVID-19 home test kits available to the public. So the county received their allotments from New York State. Then they were distributed to the towns. The town of Boston received theirs last week, but with zero guidance on how and who we're supposed to be giving them to. We all kind of agreed, I guess, as supervisors and mayors on who we were going to distribute them to. So we started reaching out to the emergency managers to talk to them, what they thought. We did not get enough for everybody. So it's kind of one of those scenarios that if I had, you know, the Jones family come in and want to get theirs, and then the Smith family came in, and I'm out of, or the town, that is, not me. The town is out of masks. I may not have enough masks for everybody. So we made the decision to prioritize the seniors. So both senior leaders have been contacted here in town, Young at Heart and the Boston Boston seniors. And I let them know that there would be masks provided at their next meetings, should they choose to hold them, or we would get the, you know, find a way to distribute them to them. Right now, as of today, my office and the town clerk's office have been distributing to residents because it went out on social media that right now one mask per resident, kind of like the paper masks, and I will continue to distribute them as, you know, frequently as possible amongst all of us board members. It's the honor system. I'm not asking if they live in Colden. I'm not asking if they live in Hamburg. If they happen to see it and they come in and they say, hey, I saw this and I'd like my mask, we're handing it over. Also, if they say that they're picking, want to pick one up for their spouse, hand it over. We still have two cases left. As of right now, we have two cases left. We'll see how long they last. We might be sitting on these masks like we are the paper surgical masks that I have. I think we have, last time I counted, I think a little over 2,200 masks of those still left over. So if you happen to know anybody that needs, wants a mask, I did give them to all the employees. The highway crew did receive all of theirs. Mark stopped up to pick up an Amazon order, so I gave him the masks then. I saw Scott today, him masks for him, Barry and Amanda. Of course, Barry and Amanda are not here, but I said when they return, feel free to share them, or if he happened to need them, you know, to use them, and we'd, you know, I'll find a way to replenish it. We did make a small order ourselves through the town to bring some in for employees. All offices received them. All of you, if you've been in to pick up your packets or seen your mail, you should have all received them. And nutrition has received theirs. So I think we've got all of our bases covered. I did provide enough for the Meals on Wheels program. So when those meals are being delivered to the residents throughout our community, that the Meals on Wheels folks can give those to those residents. Again, they're the ones most highly likely to, you know, become ill because of this disease. So right now that's the strategy. We're trying to keep it consistent because some towns we're handing out, there's actually a package of 10. And, certainly if I handed out a package of 10, I would certainly not have enough for everybody. So, that's where we made the decision kind of, I guess I'll say unilaterally to, spread these out one at a time and as people need them come in. KN95s, if you're not familiar with those, with that scenario, the KN95 is the Chinese version of an N95. N95, yes, it is better. Meets the United States standards for safety and protection. The KN95 meets the Chinese standard, for what that's worth. They're not kind of a one-time use. You don't have to throw them away, kind of like the paper surgical masks. You can, depending on use and the length of time that you use these KN95 masks, you can possibly get up to about a week unless they become soiled, dirty, or you are, like, say, for example, if I had a mask on right now and all this speaking I'm doing is going to get super saturated with the humidity from my mouth and nose because they are much tighter fitting. But they do tell you that if you're in that type of situation, maybe two, pushing 3 days maximum. So, again, there's no real guidance to hand out with these. We're just kind of handing them out and doing what the county says. Test kits, the county was supposed to get almost 500,000. They only received 40,000. The first allotment went to the schools. They were distributed by Erie BOCES. I don't know if I have this correct. Kathy, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. It's Erie BOCES like 1 and 2, I think he called it off the top of my head. But they, Erie BOCES distributed to all the schools. So the schools are handing them out to the children. Just because, of course, we're seeing that uptick with the, you know, the young kids. That it is what it is. They have not been vaccinated yet. So, you know, they're ones kind of higher at risk right now. They are obviously recovering, but you know, some are not. But that's the logic and theory behind the test kits there. Once the county receives more from New York State, then they will be distributing to the municipalities, once again, for us to distribute out to the general public who wants them. So we'll put out the same similar type notice, first come, first serve, when they're, you know, as long as we have them, we'll keep handing them out. So,
Chip, can I make a comment on the mask?
Absolutely. I think I know what you're going to say.
Those masks are an embarrassment. Every word on the package is Chinese. They were made a couple of years ago. They don't fit anybody's head. They break. They are garbage. The guys are all going to give them back to you. You can give them to, they might fit infants or little kids, but they won't fit any adults that we have. So I'm sorry to say, but they are terrible. That's all I have.
Nope, I don't disagree with what you're saying, Bob. That is the, as these now are being handed out, that is a, I guess I'll say there's no secret to this. It's being talked about. The N95/KN95 masks are much tighter fitting than any other mask. The idea is that they create that tight seal around the bridge of your nose, down around your nostril, and around your face, which is why, like let's say for an ambulance or people in the medical field, they have to be fit tested for them. But a lot of people are used to those elastic bands. What we are finding, and I agree with Bob 100% here, because this is being reported right now, and we've already raised this up to Greg Gill, Danny Nether, the rest of the crew at Erie County who's been distributing these, that we've been told that the elastics are potentially breaking, and then also that they may be too small on some people. I will admit, Mark and I had this conversation today because we just got our first single box here for the town hall that I originally bought for the employees to keep everybody safe. The ones that are made in China, they're all made in Chinese. The packaging's all Chinese. All of us elected officials and even Erie County, we're using the Google Translate app. I know for those of us that smartphones, we can actually read them and understand what's even in there. But anyway, they are tight and they don't fit me at all. There's no doubt that they don't fit me. I mean, back when I used to ride my motorcycle, I was a XL or 2XL for a helmet back in the day. They don't fit me. But that is one known issue. The other thing I will say, test kits, I don't know what we are going to get for distribution, but what was handed out at the schools has an expiration of next month. I just heard somebody chime in. Oh, Mike joined us. All right. So the
For the masks, I can Friday I can deliver 100.
Okay.
So
okay. If you want to drop those off, feel free to give them to Bob's crew.
Okay, so, just down to the highway, Bob.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. So we'll give you back the ones we got.
No problem.
I won't have to. All right.
Yeah, so the ones made in China were made this year. They have, at least according to what Google Translate tells us, they're good for up to 2 to 3 years. But the test kits do have an expiration, at least the one my daughter received, has an expiration date of next month. So, Kathy, I don't know if you have to hear this yet, but last night I was chatting with Superintendent Cornell, and I happened to tell him, I said, hey, just an FYI, in case any parents call you up, because we're having problems with the masks. Have you got any masks? Because, again, many of us were on different phone calls up to almost 9 o'clock last night. And it's basically all of this product was pushed out, and I don't have good answers on the fit, the lack of quality, again, relating to the breaking, them not fitting properly, because that has been one of the also chief complaints, that they're super tight on some people or flat out don't fit, and then the expiration date, because I have a feeling that if we as a town start receiving these and we start handing them out, I can guarantee somebody's going to be asking, well, they expire next month or whenever we get them, and I only have 2 weeks to use it. I've reached out to some of the folks at my at Strong, because again, as you all know, that's my point of contact for my wife. They said that the test kits are technically, you have to put an expiration date on things, but the test kits are still valid, most likely for a solid 6 to 8 months after, at least. So we'll see how it goes. I don't have a lot of answers, but I do know Erie County's been made aware. Again, the schools know about it. We're all talking about it. We're trying to figure it out. But again, this stuff was pushed out, kind of, I hate to say, use the term dumped on us, but it's literally dumped on us. It's very little guidance, very little structure, just says push it out. And that's where we're at. I just want to let you all know, because it is creating a little bit of stress in the community, as you might imagine. So that's what we've got. Conference room table, just so you all know, that was delayed. Millington Lockwood called us up to originally schedule for our new conference table, and the conference table arrived, and for whatever reason, we had a schedule to be installed here, got rid of the old table, and the legs never came in with a new table. So currently the planning board room does not have a table. We should have the legs here late this week, early next week, and they'll get them out and get that installed for us, and that room should be pretty much in good shape. Sean did reach out to a couple other different local vendors for us on the wall. Pat White is the lowest price for the wall in the planning board room for that storage room area that we all discussed. So that's $1,800. So that'll be a phone call out to Pat White to let him know to get on his schedule. So we'll get that rolling. And once that wall's up, we'll get a fresh coat of paint in there and get things looking nice, and we'll have a nice planning board room for while we start working on our comprehensive plan and over the next few years, and start having committee meetings and all those fun things. All right, now that Mike's here, I guess I'll kick off with, you know what, let me pull up Jen's email real quick first. I'll push this out a little bit. We're probably going to end up going into executive session, depending on how you folks want to approach this. I thought I did burn enough. I'm sorry. I didn't burn enough. Jen, you sent over, and I saw it just before I signed the meeting. Jen, to answer your email.
I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it right at 6, so I'm like, no, here's my thoughts.
No, you're okay. Number 3, so number 1 was basically an FYI to us. Number 2 was, obviously an opinion. 3, the hearing states that it will be held at the town hall. Any issues with this? I did speak to Sean. We did post notice that everything is in a dial-in format, and with our meetings being virtual, we should be okay, I guess. But overall, we've posted notice to the public. It was posted ahead of time. It's out on the town website, so social media. So that's everything there. I'm gonna skip over number 4, because again, that's going to probably be something we're going to go into executive session on, again, depending on how we want to handle this. The 284 agreement, no, we did not receive that as of yet, so that will be tabled. And then in the fee agenda, what does the code book leaving town official at a lower cost relate to? The way that was explained to me back in the day was that all elected officials got a copy of the Town of Boston code book. I'm just trying to go back to my GoToMeeting screen here.
I kind of remember that. That's why I mentioned it. I wasn't sure if you knew any update, because I've never I voted to not receive a code book because of the cost when I joined the planning board. I copied it for myself and for another planning board member. But in the future, as we change our code, we're going to need new books, if people prefer them versus an online version.
Right. So
that mean if leaving town official, like, does that mean if you've been a town official, you get it's a cheaper cost?
Well, here's the problem with our fees, and I will call it a problem because they are severely outdated. They haven't been changed in many, many moons. Code books are a heck of a lot more expensive than that. They're quite expensive, easily double that amount. So that's where we really need to sit down on some of these things. There's obviously a lot that needs to be updated and worked on, which, of course, is one of the other reasons why we're all looking to bring on a full-timer code enforcement officer, so we have somebody who can sit down and start focusing on this when it is the slower time of the season. I'm working with Sarah Destardins, who offered to help set some of this up and work with us on these things. But basically, that's the code book. I know the planning board and zoning board, they're getting pretty comfortable with using the E-code 360. Not a bad tool to have in your back pocket, but I don't disagree that at some point we should have at least another code book, maybe two, on hand. So while we're reviewing these or going through and updating the documentation, you know, there is a paper copy that people can reference and refer to. We do have a couple up in the code enforcement office right now. I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, Sandy, I don't think you have an updated copy yet, do you? I see you getting up, actually.
I was going to go look to see what I had. I know I have the old code book. Anything new, we use the e-code online.
Yep. Yeah, that's been pretty, as you just heard, that's been pretty standard practice, whether it's planning board, zoning board. There used to be a old code book down here, and truthfully, actually, there are pages missing out of it. Don't know what ever happened to it, but anyway, pages missing out of it. So, yes, that'll all be part of our comprehensive plan, code review committee, looking at our schedules of fees. That's an onion with many layers at the moment. So, long-winded answer for
right, because what I was going to suggest is not get printed ones, but get a printed one for to be in the planning room. You know, a couple of them for the code and one for zoning as a reference books to be on the shelves for them. But they need to have the adopted changes, the amendments to that as well, because I don't know how all that works. So, Sarah said she'd help us through that once we get a few more changes, because otherwise it would be a never-ending printing. So, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we want to just make sure all the adopted changes are in there and reflect that instead of having those printed separately and then added in, because she had alluded that in the past they'd print it and then they'd print the amendments, unless I'm hoping that's changed. Sean, I don't know if you know. I'm hoping that's changed, because that would be, we'll just never, ever want to print it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I see more and more places going away from printed code books, just in general. Like, the e-code is just the way to go. I think that you can enable additional options to make it easier to print relevant sections. So right now, you can easily, you know, select different sections of code and, you know,
right,
print it as a PDF.
Yep, and search and stuff, but so, yeah.
So, and one thing that we have not done that probably, as we are making a lot of updates, the E-code 360, they're not integrating all of our new local laws in that text, like the basic text that you just clicked on, but they will. You know, if we pay them to do so, they'll do them as we make the changes, which would be really make it a lot more user-friendly for everyone. And even, you know, in the example of like a planning board meeting where there's certain sections of code at issue, instead of getting everybody a book with, you know, everything from street specifications to, you know, the dog control laws, we could just, you know, get them PDF copies of the relevant code set.
Okay. Cool.
I don't know if that answered the question.
Kind of, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and some municipalities will put the link from E-code 360 right out on their code enforcement web link. So that way, if, you know, at the end of the day, we're all still residents of the town of Boston. If we were working on our homes and wanted to look up a code, we could go out to the code enforcement website, click on the E-code 360, you know, pop up what we're looking for, kind of educate ourselves, and then confirm with the code enforcement officer, hey, yeah, this is kind of what's going on. I've seen that too. There's opportunities out there. It's just a matter of how we want to structure them and what information we want to put out there as we move forward through the process. So Mike, just a quick update. Mike did drop off our call. He said that he has a Windows update, so his computer has a restart, and then also he's been having problems dialing in with T-Mobile. So hope this might be Mike dialing back in. But so that's that. Just a friendly reminder to all of us. I don't know if you've seen, some of these things. Apologies for any repetition. But feel free to tout or promote the Waste Management at Your Door service. Obviously, that went effective on 1-1. I have not had a chance to call Waste Management yet to see if they've had any calls from Boston, but I know that it's gone out on social media. Residents have been pretty darn ecstatic almost about the service. So the Waste Management air doors out there, I was going to bring up in my my report tonight and just remind people about the website and also the 1-800 number that they can call. And really good news, Connie and I were able to connect later this afternoon, where I was informing all of you that I've been working with the New York State DEC contact that I have through the NEST group, which is NEST is Northeast Southtowns Solid Waste Management Board. Connie did confirm that we could be eligible for reimbursement, and it's going to take a little bit of work here, but what we've got right now.
Jason, can you hear me okay?
Yes, loud and clear, Mike.
All right, great.
So Waste Management, we're looking at a possible up to 50% reimbursement for the at-your-door service, which would be really, really nice. So
really nice. That's a good cost saving.
Yes, big time. So I told Connie, get ready, because this grant is for her, it's not a fun one. It takes a lot of information. Luckily, Waste Management generates those reports that I shared with all of you, so you can see kind of that monthly, quarterly, or annual breakdown. So we'll be able to quantify and show what was collected and how much, whether it's poundage or volume, et cetera. But that's a nice savings for us. I'm actually super happy that it's even that much. So if we don't hit all the marks on there, it could potentially drop down. If we don't hit all the marks, it could be reduced down to like a 25% reimbursement. Again, obviously, it's all subject to the DEC grant stipulations and the qualifiers in that grant. But again, money back is money back, and if we can save our taxpayers money, especially by adding an additional service, all the better. So I'm super happy to hear that from Connie today. And I think that's basically everything. So you know, I guess a quick time check. I know it's 6:40. I guess I'll open up to the all of you. I know we have a question regarding the full-time code position in the salary. If any of you want to go into executive session, certainly willing to entertain that. Or if you just have questions, I can answer any questions. I know Jen had some questions in her email regarding code enforcement. Kathy. My apologies. Kathy has some questions on that. Let me just jump back to her email. Go ahead.
I was just inquiring if he accepted the position with the known salary. Evidently not.
No, he had not, because we did during the initial interview, it was basically seeing if he was interested in coming over, wanted to learn about Boston. Salary at that point was not discussed. We then had another follow-up meeting because he became interested in working for the town. And, again, you saw the numbers in the email. I'll chalk it up to that. You all know what was there. I said that I didn't know if I could quite go as high as what was currently there. I guess my past interviewing techniques from my corporate America days worked, because I got him to kind of squeal what his salary was. But I kind of countered, and I got a nod on it. And he says, I could make that work. One of the most appealing things was a little bit closer to home, which, you know, here we go. And then also the fact that we are not a 40-hour work week, so it would be 70 hours for 2 weeks worth of work. I also emphasized that, again, Kathy, to answer your questions, I pushed very heavily on the computer skills. I said that is beyond desperate in that department. I did share, it's public knowledge. I said a lot of things are done on paper. We really need to move into the 21st century on some of these things and become more efficient. And that's where we gain our efficiencies and become more efficient, save taxpayer money. And then also, truthfully, the individual was shocked that we weren't using certain computer platforms to track and document things or issue violations. If folks want to go into executive session, completely cool with it. But again, there's a lot of opportunity. I think the individual is a good candidate, and I don't say that because I spoke with them. The salary seemed to be kind of a little bit of a sticking point. But once I explained that it's a 70-hour biweekly work week, and also that overtime truly does not kick in until you hit that that 40-hour/80-hour mark. I did also emphasize that the very high demand and need that we have in the community, which this individual is aware of, was if, God forbid, we have a motor vehicle accident like we just had, and at midnight or whatever time that was, I don't recall, but there may be the phone may ring and you may need to go out and verify that a structure is deemed either safe or unsafe. I need you to do that. It was deemed as overtime where this individual currently is employed. And he said, well, actually, he goes for the hours. He goes, I would take it. And so that's where we got. That's the dollar amount that we landed on. And, again, not my place. That's not my place to say unilaterally. So I wanted to reach out to all of you, make sure we're all comfortable. Obviously, if so, we have to do the budget amendment, which it is what it is. Again, stuff that we can talk about outside of executive session. We all saw what happened with our sales tax. That came in. Yeah, we knew it was going to be high, didn't anticipate it as high as it was, and our mortgage sales tax is higher. So, budgetary-wise, Kathy shaking her head. But that money moves over. That's our money, so, we move that over. And I think it's, again, I don't want to sound biased because, again, I did the interviews, but I think it's going to be well invested. This person came highly recommended, defaulting back on one of Jennifer's questions that she had in her email. Sarah Destardins. I will use the term of rave about this individual.
Good. Thank you.
Sarah knows this person very well. And truthfully, Bill Ferguson knows this person well too. This person and Bill, actually worked together in some capacity. So we're kind of we've got that relationship building going on in the office. And, that's basically that's my pitch to you guys. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Does anybody want to go into that? I'm sorry?
I was wondering where he came from. Where is he working now?
I don't think we're allowed to discuss that right now because he hasn't officially said yes.
How about this? I promise I will answer that after the board meeting tonight. I will. I'll reach out to you.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm
fine with that. I mean.
Okay. Yeah. And not that this is obviously a deal breaker, but they're actually in the process of potentially purchasing, and they're in negotiations right now for land, so they might be an official Town of Boston resident in the very near future if the deal goes through with the land. So we will have a Boston resident as well.
Okay.
Does anybody want to go into executive session? I don't want to, take that away or I want to make sure all of your questions or thoughts or opinions are answered.
So then the fees, salaries.
Yep.
So that payment of salaries, I'm looking for that now. Would that need to be changed?
We at the next meeting, we would need to change that.
So keep it as is, and then if we decide to, okay.
Well, the salary, right, so what we would do this is a board decision, not mine. There's money in the budget now for the salary that if the board is comfortable appointing this individual tonight, and I guess I actually the name's out there, so there's nothing to hide here. But anyway, if the board is interested in appointing this individual tonight, then there's money in the budget, but we will, in due diligence, there will likely be a budget amendment resolution on the next board meeting or maybe, for right thereafter. But in the near future, to properly account for that. But, again, that's how we would handle that. So the salary, you saw the email. It is a little bit of a bump. It's not as high as they were getting, but I think we have agreed to a number. If the town board of that is okay with that too.
What you had recommended offering?
What was in the email?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's my thoughts.
That's okay. I'm open for feedback. We're a team. Any concerns with anything? I don't know if the end of just, the other thing I apologize. I don't know if they're going to take the benefits. That I guess I'll say that was kind of an unknown. They did question what kind of benefits we had. Definitely not the benefits package that they're used to. This individual also comes from a union environment, so a little bit health, hence there's some of your salary explanation too, but a union environment and a pretty rich benefits package. So they're be a little bit of a change to them, but again, they're the ones seeking us out, not the other way around. And again, also it's Sean Crotty. For those of you who know Sean Crotty, I think all of you do. He also highly recommended this individual. Anybody want to go into quick question at all? I see some no's. All right. Okay, well, that's easy, Cole. If that's the case, I will make the phone. It sounds like all in agreement. Once everything is finalized tonight, I will pick up the phone and make the phone call tomorrow. And then Ellie/I will follow up with Erie County Civil Service, let them know. This person off the you all have the list. If you take a look at the list, obviously, again, the name's in the packet tonight. It's the number one on the list. And I think we'll have a good person that will do well for our community, and definitely looking to do a lot of truly future planning, which is when I talked about the comprehensive plan, super excited about it. So, you know, definitely good to have somebody on board with getting us on the right path to that future plan. Okay. Only other thing I have for all of you tonight, at least for the work session, that is just to bring it to your attention, the wonderful world of Phil. Off of Chestnut Ridge Road, Mr. Altier filed a new permit. I wanted to do a permit extension, to which I told code enforcement that it is not an extension. We adopted a new permit last year. The individual needs to fill out a new permit, submit the new permit fee, et cetera, et cetera. The individual is currently out of the area in a different state. Don't know when or if they will be coming back, but just an FYI, we will probably be getting some kind of correspondence in the near future regarding Phil. At least we will have a document that we can have a much more in-depth view on what is and is not going to be happening up there in the future. Just an FYI, because Phil did reach out to me, and I said, unfortunately, it's a new permit. The town board adopted that permit last year. It's official. It's done. Anybody needs to use that now. So.
His current permit expired December 31st of 2021.
Yes. Thank you, Sandy. Yes. Great point. Yes. That was through the end of the last year. That's correct. Thank you. All right. Anything else we want to, I guess I'll segue over. I'm going to stop. I'm chatting away here. I always have stuff to tell you guys. As far as the liaison appointments, anybody want to play musical chairs with liaison appointments? Do you want to keep them the same? I got them the same. You all seem to like them. I know we've basically been doing the same ones year over year. But if anybody wants to play musical chairs, I'm open to it.
I'm fine with everything. It's just, plug and play. It's just easier. You already have the rapport with the we all know our duties. It's easier. Yeah.
And
the only other one that I had out there is the NEST Solid Waste Management Board. I mean, that was always a council member, and the only reason, truly, that I've just left this meeting is because I'm the treasurer for the group. It was truly one of those scenarios where they asked me to be the treasurer, and I swear to God, I was sitting, and everybody just, took a step back, and Jason became it. So I've been the treasurer for the past couple of years. anybody wants to be on the NEST board, it's a good board. I'll be very brutally honest. I don't know if the town of Austin will stay in that board going into the future, especially with this health. If this waste management solution works out, it's all public information. I have argued on record with the county that the Solid Waste Management Board has been collecting dues from municipalities for a couple of years now, and yes, we've had a pandemic. Okay, I've got it. However, I view it that same way I do as a chief financial officer. The money belongs in the taxpayer pocket, not in my coffers. If there's an identified expense, we look to
if you will, the taxpayers for to offset that cost. But right now, they have not done outreach to the community. The events have not been as prevalent as they used to be. Again, some of it has been over the past couple of years. Fair being fair, the pandemic has thrown some of the stuff off. But they're sitting on well over $100,000 of taxpayer money from all the different communities. I have vocalized this, again, on record. It's all in the minutes. I've, even at our annual meeting, I stood up and tried to...
I'll see
you.
...60-40 split, but there's still a lot of people that want to stay in that group. But with this new program, I predict that we will probably see municipalities kind of topping out. So, anyway, that's my opinion. Again, it's taxpayer money that comes from our town. We are likely not going to be receiving a benefit from that group anymore. Again, if this waste management thing works well in 2022... I don't see any benefit of continuing with the NEST board, so I will probably end up, you know, resigning as the treasurer, and you know, I will make Gary Carroll, Amy, you know, and the rest of the crew, you know, aware of that. And there's a few other municipalities that I think in the near future. It's not because of me, but they're basically kind of watching what I do because I keep raising this flag, and it's swaying more in the county's favor than it is in the municipalities, and I think it's just going to be the matter of the municipalities drawing the line in the sand, saying enough's enough, we're done, backing out, and then I think that's when, you know, they'll kind of open up their eyes, so to speak.
Do you know what the annual membership fee is? It's over 1,000, isn't it?
I do.
It's like 1,600, 1,900, or something like that?
Not that. For Boston, it's not that high. That's okay. Our dues were $609.98.
Okay. Every year.
It fluctuates a little bit. There's a kind of a sliding scale when it comes to how much they raise, but it's per like right now it's 7.5. How do they get the half cent? I don't know because I'm getting nitpicky. But anyway, it's 7.5 cents per resident. So they still have Boston at 8,133 residents, which then breaks out to $609.98 is what we just paid. Last off the top of my head, last abstract before that, something like that. But
I'm gonna say what I said 3-4 years ago. I don't think they're necessary. I don't think we need them.
With this, the waste management at your door service?
Right. With that now coming to the forefront, we don't need them at all.
No.
So.
Yep. So, anyway, that's NEST. So unless, you know, if anybody wants to join, don't get me wrong, great group of people. You know, there's a lot of supervisors there. Mark Shuttleworth, he's the highway super over in the village of Hamburg. Again, it's a great group of people. We have DEC there. We have a lot of good contacts over at the county. Again, not that they're doing anything wrong. I just like to, again, you guys know me now. I mean, we've been working together for a while. I just always look to find a way to do better, and I don't see it being beneficial. So.
But paying $600 to be part of a networking group, what are we getting out of it?
Back in the day, they used to help us with. It would actually really just probably more since I took over as the chairman, and this really probably would fall, you know, Kathy, you probably remember some of this. They helped with collecting data for, I know we went after a couple of DEC grants. You know, they do some decent work. But now that I know these people, truth be told, I can pick up the phone, make a phone call to somebody and say, hey, I need this information. Can you get it for me? And 9 times out of 10, it's showing up in my inbox. So... Like you're saying, I mean, this is kind of a membership deal, and the idea was that they would hold household hazardous waste events. They would hold electronic waste events. They would do outreach. I pretty much, like, blew a lid when the recycle widget, if you go out the Town of Boston website and go on the solid waste page, and there's a recycle widget down at the bottom. I just learned, all of us just learned at the last meeting, this is what happens at the county, and I'm not directly picking on the county, but I mean, I'm taking my stabs at them. That recycle widget costs $2,000 a month to host, and it's still not done. It's still not accurate, and they paid over $25,000 to this vendor to create this recycle widget. I threw up my hand. I made a motion. I said, pull the plug on it. I said, if this was me back in corporate America, coming from an IT and project management background, this is a failed project. Pull the plug. I got the vote. I got the support. I don't think it's going to be supported anymore. It's got to go back to the ledge. But I said, this is ridiculous. I said, why are we paying for something that's broken? It's not updated. I said, if I as a citizen go out there and there's not accurate information, that falls on you. You've had 3 years to work on this. And that's after the deployment and launch of it that you went public with. And you had 3 years to correct these things, and it's still not done. So, and there, I'll step off my soapbox because it struck a nerve with me. I was livid to find out that the county was paying, or using our county taxpayer dollars, it's not part of our nest dues, but spending $2,000 a month to host this thing. We're absolutely outrageous. So, anyway. That's it. In a nutshell. The only other one, you know, take this for what it's worth. I'm just going to toss it out there. Of course, we just went through an election. Of course, there were some flyers out there. Do we as a board want to appoint a veterans liaison? I've been scrutinized. The town has never had a veterans liaison. Sadly, we know what happened with our AMVETS here. I've heard rumor that they're trying to, you know, get it back up and going again. But again, at the end of the day, is it something we as a board want to explore, or do we? I'm just going to stop there. I will take no news is the answer. Okay. Had to ask.
Jason.
Yes.
Jason.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, why don't you take that liaison position?
I could.
I mean, I don't see any problem with that. I mean, we created the veterans parking spaces at the town hall, and prior to COVID, we were doing the due diligence on the Hometown Heroes banners, and I'm not sure where that ended up. I believe that was with Mr. Shank, and you were working on that together.
I'm fine taking it on.
So,
some of you know the story. If it wasn't for a motor vehicle accident, I probably wouldn't be sitting here because, A, I was lucky to survive it, and, B, I was in the Marines at the time, so I'm happy to take it.
Okay.
Anybody wanted it. I don't, being a past service member, my family being in the service, my father-in-law, I don't want this to ever be viewed or deemed as political, nor do I ever want it to seem like a scenario where, you know, because this has been used as an attack flyers, our veterans should not be used as a bargaining chip ever. And I can't emphasize that enough. So I'm happy to take it on if nobody else wants it. But again, that was something, obviously, it's been an attack flyers every single time I've ran. I'll be honest, I struggled bringing it up. But again, if nobody else wants it, let's create a position. I'll run with it. See what happens. Honored to do it. I am a public servant, after all. It's my job.
Kelly, were you in the service? Kathy, Jennifer?
Civil Air Patrol. So no.
I bury a lot of veterans.
My husband's a vet. But, I mean, I don't really know if that would just be a point of contact. If what would that would even... How would it even come up? Like the other thing I had heard, there's a historian liaison and there's also a town historian. So we got two of those. What's that? I mean.
So the town historian, almost every municipality has a historian. And, yeah, they're, like, if you go over to, like, the, the town of Hamburg across from the casino there, they have their historical society just like ours. So then the town historian traditionally is the person that kind of spearheads that, works with the group to keep that historical society, you know, operational, open to the public, doing public outreach, things like that. the liaison, I truly don't have that history. It's been something, truth be told, it's always been in the agenda since I was a, since I've been a board member, even as a councilman. I think it was just an intermediary person that would work with, you know, either at the time Sherry Fluda slash Kathy Pajacolo, and just if they needed something, they got a point of contact at the town. I mean, that's my interpretation of it, and I hear Kathy saying right. So, I mean, could
why is it criticized, though? I mean, like we're double-dipping or something? Why we're paying a story, in which we always did, and we have a liaison. So we work together that way. So,
same reason that that same person's truck was driving through the town hall parking lot today with the sign on the back of that Ford pickup truck still saying, liberate Boston, resist Keating. So
today,
oh yeah, that individual, as you probably most of you know, if not all of you, that individual lives right around the corner from me, and I see that truck routinely. I told you anything else, I'd be lying. Yep, I just happened to be on a call, looking outside and watching the truck go by. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, yes, today. No election, nothing going on. And then just so you know, there is not a historian liaison on the listing. That was a, you know, the attack flyer that went out. Obviously, here we go. We're getting political, not about business. But the historian liaison was really, I think it was a, I'm trying to think of what the heck it was back in the day. But anyway, if you look at about a quarter way through your packets, you know, there's a liaison to the Historical Society, but a historian liaison, there was never a historian liaison. We just, the historian is always, doesn't matter if it's me or anyone else, as a supervisor. A supervisor slash mayor appoints the historian for the community. And nine times out of ten, because that's somebody that's incredibly, in my personal opinion, talented and passionate about that type of thing, usually that person has a job for a long time until they're, you know, they want to bow out of it. But, again, like I said, I tossed it out there to see what your thoughts were. I don't want things, y'all know my thoughts, I just don't want things to get political. I've never had a problem helping our veterans. There's not much I can do to Kathy's point. I mean, really, if a veteran was to call me to help, I mean, I can work with WDI, which is an organization, or let's say if it's a veteran in the community that needed help with their house, with windows or doors, you know, we can always use South Sound Rural Preservation. You know, there's a lot of resources, but really any of the five of us could do that. You know, I don't know if we exactly need a single point of contact. I mean, could it make it easier? Sure. I mean, no different than technically speaking, you know, I am also the fair housing officer for the community. So, you know, somebody that is paying rent and their landlord is discriminating against them, they're going to be walking in and talking to Jason to figure out what their options are and explain to me why they're being discriminated against. And if I identify, the training basically tells you, if the fair housing officer identifies that the person is being discriminated or treated unfairly, or say for example they're being charged a higher rent just because they might be a single parent or a person of color or what have you, or any of those reasons, truth be told, I do a warm handoff to HOME, which is housing, the acronym for Housing Opportunities Made Equal, and then they take over everything. My job is done. I'm merely a kind of the first interview, if you will. That's it. I've done outreach with South Fund Rural Preservation. I've never, in six years, I've never had a phone call or someone reach out to me via email, you know, for that situation. Vital I have, but that's it. So I just didn't know if we wanted to draw attention to it. Again, it was brought up in past election season, and it was something that was in the it was noted, so I'm going to ask all of you to see what your thoughts were. If you want to go down the path, I have no problems doing it. Am I going to be also chastised down the road, or any of us going to be chastised? Oh, well, why do you have a liaison for the veterans? I don't know. I'm going to stop.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I'm looking through the packet, and I see the liaison assignments. They all appear to be assigned to one of the board members. board members versus the supervisor. Is there a lot of effort in any of those assignments? That would be the first question. And then the second one would be, are there specific qualifications that you would need to be a veterans liaison versus any of the other liaisons? If the title is created, you know, how much work really is involved in such a title? And why wouldn't, you know, like any of the other liaisons, be it a board member versus the supervisor?
Well, qualifications, I guess, simply answered is, were there any qualifications for us to run for office? The answer is no. You know, we had a desire to serve our communities and be public servants at the end of the day. Okay. I think when, you know, to answer your question, Jay, I think when, you know, and again, board members, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but when we first all came in, I kind of tossed it all on the table, said, let's play 52-card pickup. Who wants what? You know, everybody has their own areas of expertise and knowledge, and that's really kind of where the chips fell, and that's how that all kind of came together. But as far as, you know, the amount of work the workload that goes with each position, it really depends on, I'd say, what it is. I mean, for an example, you know, I guess kind of picking, you know, going just down the list, but like planning board and, you know, zoning board, mm-hmm. you know, those ones, you know, the liaison, you know, sometimes shows up to the meetings, truthfully, they're not required to be there, but I mean, they're the point of contact for the board. The insurance and the Boston Community Foundation, we haven't really discussed some of those things in years, but do they still exist? They do. Parks and Rec, you know, Mike's been, you know, helps out with, you know, some of that, as does Jen. Fire departments, you know, actually Mike does quite a bit of work with the fire departments. In the benefit program, Christmas lighting, we haven't had a Christmas lighting committee, and I don't truly know. It's been a long time, and we've done outreach through social media and the website, and getting committees together. I don't know what, truthfully, I wish I had a good answer for this one. Getting people to volunteer and step up to join a committee would be great. It would actually help, in my opinion, immensely, if we just don't get the volunteerism. So that's the Christmas lighting. Chamber of Commerce, you know, that was actually not existent really until really Mike / myself and actually Ellie's husband, Mitch Martin, put together the Boston Colden Chamber of Commerce, you know, something Mitch and I talked about, gosh, when I first came as a council member, and then Mike really wanted to take the lead on that, so Mike and Mitch have been doing a great job keeping that program going.
Veterans, veterans liaison. You know, I understand there's a whole spectrum of pieces.
I think that would be working with Erie County, truthfully. You know, if a veteran reached out and needed help, what do you need help with? And some of those services would be more than likely a warm handoff. You know, I could be a point of contact, but it'd be just, okay, here's information on who to contact at Erie County for Erie County Veteran Services.
Because why don't you just make me the veterans liaison as well, or just make me the veterans liaison. I don't mind doing that. I didn't feel right about accepting that having not served, but. I don't think that matters. I'm a big supporter of every branch of the armed services and always will be. So just put me down as that. I don't mind that at all. And then, you know, I'm probably, if there is a, like, Christmas lighting, you know, there was interest in raising money and putting a committee together for that, you know, like, after we got the trolley car fixed for the manger scene, that, you know, there were a lot of people that were interested in them, you know, that spring. It was like COVID, and that was it. And now, you know, that's gotten away from us. You know, but I do spend a fair amount of time with the fire departments, the Chamber of Commerce, and I always support. I mean, recreation is now pretty much the Boys and Girls Club, you know, and or sports teams, and I know all those people very well. So,
You know, that's not as much to do there other than approve their, you know, use of facility applications. I mean, they're all self-sufficient, especially the Boys and Girls Club. But, yeah, just list me as the veteran liaison. I don't mind doing that. Fair enough.
I just want to note, I think the Christmas lighting was more of a thing back in the day when Mr. Carey had all his Christmas lighting in his barn back 20 years ago, and it was all volunteers putting up the lighting.
That's
so
correct.
Now we have additional staff hours for Amanda Berry and to do that. So I feel like we don't have the volunteers, but we increased our budget to allow for Christmas lighting to be done by the town. So that's just my two cents on that.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And well, the nice thing about a committee would be also is that because it's not, you got to be careful of this, but like Article 12 of the state constitution. Anyway, a municipality cannot solicit donations. So if we get a committee or some other entity other than the five of us board members going out doing public outreach, things like that, they can technically, you know, collect funds per se and then make a donation on behalf of the committee to help offset, let's say, a new holiday decoration that we need to be updated. Or another example, 4th of July fireworks. We, you know, the town, when I first came out as a councilman, all the board members would, actually I still do it to this day. I make a donation to the town. I don't know if you ever saw it in the abstracts, but it's all there. But I make a donation to the town for the fireworks. But as far as going out and asking for that, legally we're not supposed to do that because if we have an identified cost, we're supposed to be, you know, managing that within throughout the, you know, within the budget, and that's that. Because it's legally speaking, it's deemed as a like a double taxation if the town board reaches out for donations. So some of these committees really could be beneficial. I mean, they could help us sometimes, you know, potentially cut down some of our costs. Yeah, it's just how it is. So. Okay, just a quick time check because we do have the public hearing for the ambulance or the squad, you know, Boston Emergency Squad contract tonight. It's 7:15. I guess on that note, does anybody have any questions on the squad contract at all? I think we're in pretty good shape. I've spoken with Don O'Brien, Carla, who's the new coming in person, Lorinda. We're all in, you know, good position there. I don't know if any of you had any questions on the squad contract, but
all right. I'm good. Thank you.
And if you remember, actually they're very happy. If you recall, we did take some of the additional funds from last year and put that into the equipment reserve fund. So they certainly appreciate that. The last meeting that I attended, actually, it's one of the last meetings of the year. I just popped in real quick to thank them for their service with everything going on. There's some membership things going on over there, and I just tried to give them a morale booster. But that was the one ambulance that they were talking about replacing. You know, it is what it is. We contract with them, but we'll have to wait and see. I think they're going to be on the near horizon for looking for a new ambulance, probably sooner than later. They just had a meeting with Connie Miner last week to start discussing, you know, looking for funding opportunities, and so they could start to get together all their paperwork for any of the potential FEMA grants that are out there. And I don't have the exact numbers, but Kelly, if you have them. But verbally, I was told that they took over 600 calls last year. You know, previous years, it was pretty close to 600, a little bit over 600, but last year, it is what it is with the pandemic, they were well over 600 calls. So they have been busy, to say the least, for a volunteer organization.
So what is the is there an updated dollar amount in the contract? I didn't see that.
Yes, that is.
Are you talking about Resolution 6, right?
Well, so we have the notice of public hearing, and then Resolution 26 is the authorizing of the contract for general ambulance services for the Boston Emergency Squad, excuse me. So in the amount of $59,424, which we allocated $36,000 of general operating costs, $9,000 towards liability insurance and $14,424 is our annual installment due. So as far as the increase, there were slight increases, but not, you know, not a huge increase. It is what it is. Historically, they've never, you know, Kathy, you know this better, much better than me. They've never really asked for much money.
Right.
They, and again,
but I mean the new dollar amount. You said was 50. I don't see it in the actual resolution.
Really?
Am I missing that? Like in 22-06. I just, in case somebody, you know, we're reading the contract and there's no dollar amount in it.
The dollar amount is in the contract, though, on page 2.
Yeah,
the resolution is just to execute that contract.
Yeah, paragraph 5 reads as follows. The town shall pay the squad a total sum of $59,424. The sum allocated as follows is $36,000 for general operation, $9,000 to cover liability premium, as noted in section 12. $14,424 is the annual installment due on September
29th,
2022.
I don't hear that page.
Really?
I'm looking at it. I'm like, don't call on me because I don't have any of the dollar amounts here.
Kathy, so I have this, and you should have the contract right after that.
Okay. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong order here.
That's okay. I'm glad you caught that. No, that's all right.
Too many papers. Too many papers. Imagine if it was electronic.
We could just scroll, right?
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
All right. I got Connie's contract.
It is right after the public hearing. Close to the beginning of the packet, you have the public hearing notice, and then the contract is right there with the public hearing notice.
Okay, I don't know. After
the minute? Kelly, since you're the liaison for the squad, you had everything, right?
Okay, wait a minute, I found it.
That's okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, make sure you have everything, no problem.
You know, what's interesting about that is, you know, 600 calls a year. I'm aware of more than one municipality that has their own squad service on a billing to people on Medicaid, Medicare. There's a rate that gets paid on that. And even if you're just rounded off to $1,000 a ride, you know, you're going to give up, I think, 12 or 13% to the billing company that actually issues the bill. I mean, you're talking about, you know, even if you did your own billing at $600,000 annually in revenue, buys your ambulances, pays for training, pays, you're creating jobs for people that want to serve, but should be compensated for it in town. I mean, I know that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of unrest right now, and there's a lot of discussion among the squad to do it. But I drove through today. I saw that there was a sign on one of those ambulances that said out of service and a bright sign on the windshield. You know, and you can make a lot of, you know, mechanical issues go away with, you know, and if you can still continue to provide the service to people who can't afford to pay it, you know, then their bill just doesn't get submitted. But people that are have insurance and that are on Medicaid, Medicare, they should be billing for those. I mean, if they're competing with, you know, rural metro and the others that are out there. I mean,
town are being taxed for that. They're already paying taxes on that. If you look to their county and everything else, they're paying an ambulance tax. They're already being taxed and paid for. The problem is a lot of those guys in the ambulance service are getting up there in age. They're burned out, they're tired, and a lot of those people, because they don't have paramedic status or whatever else, are having to call in or to Park, Springville, or whatever else to get paramedics to come in. My son was charged $1,700 when Armour or some of the other ones come into town. And so are the residents when they were transported by a different agency. You're going to be shocked if you find out what the cost would be to pay manpower at 24 hours a day, because that's what they're on call, and pay for that stuff and what it would cost insurance-wise and everything else. That's something you really have to seriously look at that.
Right, but what Mike is saying, I think, is that, you know, truth, this is something that I went through back when I was with the Brewerton Fire Department, and back in the day, Rural Metro, now AMR, took us over because we were missing calls. And we went to a self-bill system, like Mike is talking about, and if a resident did not, well, back in the day, I mean, everybody has insurance now, you legally have to have it, but your average Medicare reimbursement rate, here I go talking the insurance lingo, your Medicare average Medicare reimbursement rate was at the time probably around $1,100, $1,200 ballpark. And so to Mike's point, you know, so you look at that. Say, for example, a resident did not have that. They could, you know, do a courtesy waive on that bill. Yes, I mean, that's your taxi ride. It's about $1,000. If they need medicine or it's a more serious transport, I mean, gosh, I mean, I've heard the bill, you know, from stories from friends/family, but there's a person I know that went into labor and their hospital bill or their ambulance bill, I'm sorry, was over $3,000. And with the insurance, you know, our insurance deductibles on most insurance plans are relatively high unless you have a older grandfathered Cadillac plan or otherwise, but then that's with a $500 deductible on top of that. So, you know, but to Mike's point, 600 calls, $1,000, that's $600,000. That's a complete night and day, you know, game changer. And now these, you know, again, rigs aren't, you know, ambulances are not getting cheaper. They're only getting more expensive. The last one that the town brought, you know, we worked on to bring in for the town was over $250,000 for an ambulance. And, you know, the repairs are not cheap. The tires aren't cheap. The list goes on and on. So it's an operational decision. You know, it's each to their own, and I don't disagree with you, Rich. I mean, there's an ambulance tax levied, but that the squad would have to decide how they wanted to handle that. But could they have a paid paramedic on staff? Again, cycling back over to Mike's side of things, yeah. God forbid, Jason Keating has a heart attack, and guess what? Instead of waiting for somebody to come from their house and arrive, you know, get the rig, or, you know, meet up at a house and wait for the rig to show up, you got a paramedic that they get toned out, they're jumping out of a chair, like I used to do back in the day, jump off the couch, because we're 9 times out of 10 either sleeping in the bunk or sleeping on the couch, and, you know, get behind the wheel of the rig and fly. And that's just how it
works. I'm certainly not advocating for them to change what they do. I was just pointing out that, you know, I'm aware of other places where they do that, and they don't really have budgetary concerns. They're looking at, you know, things like acquiring more equipment, more training, property, all those types of things, and, you know, you can still provide it. But I wouldn't be in favor of doing anything or suggesting anything unless it was an organic effort from that group of volunteers. So I want to make sure everybody understands my position on that. I'm not in favor of changing any of those things without widespread support and an organic effort from that group of people to want to explore it. And I can certainly put people in touch with others that could, you know, certainly direct them and offer assistance if it was wanted or needed. So just putting that out there.
Nope. I don't disagree with you, Mike. That's on them. We contract with them, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's their decision. They need to make it, not us. Fully agree. All right. Got about 3 minutes. I don't know if anybody else has anything else they want to talk about or have questions on. Nothing else to really talk about.
advertise it. So I'm going to, I'm just looking at my notes, make sure I covered all of the email questions. So we talked about code.
When we go through the appointments and the assignments and all that, do we read them off one by one, right?
Yes.
Just verifying.
All right, so I think we've covered everything. So we're all good. So as long as everything goes, like I said, as planned, I will make the necessary phone calls tomorrow, and we'll get working on those things. And as I see some folks dialing in just before the board meeting kicks off here at 7:30, if there's any town employees that happen to be on the call. Just a couple housekeeping items. It's *6 to unmute your phone or *6 to mute your phone. And also, of course, for the public, for anyone from the public that is on, when we get to the open floor session, same holds true. *6 to unmute your phone. And I kindly ask that you press *6 to mute your phone again, just so there's no echoing and, any other speakers that can be heard. And then also, I do see a couple of town employees popping on. And then after all the appointments have been made, I did speak with our town clerk. If you can just please be into her office within the next week, maybe 2 weeks maximum, to take your oath of office and sign the oath, please. So Sandy is aware of that. Her and I did, of course, coordinate all that as well. All right. Well, it's 7:30, so I'm going to begin recording the meeting and...
This conference is no longer being recorded. This conference will now be recorded.
Okay. It's Wednesday, January 5th, 2022, at 7:30 p.m. I will call the meeting to order.
Councilwoman Selby?
Present.
Councilman Carticchini?
Present.
Supervisor Keating?
Present.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Present.
Councilwoman Martin.
Present.
Councilwoman Martin, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag,
to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you all very much. And all right, the first order of business we have tonight, we do have a public hearing scheduled for 7:30. So I will read off the public hearing and then open up the floor afterwards. So this is a notice of public hearing to the Town of Boston. Please take notice that the Town of Boston Town Board, Erie County, New York, will hold a public hearing at the January 5th, 2022 Town Board meeting to extend the Boston Emergency Services contract for the purpose of furnishing ambulance service to the town of Boston in the amount of $59,424, which will be allocated as follows: $36,000 general operating costs, $9,000 liability insurance, and $14,424 as the annual installment due on September 29th, 2022 to Evans Bank for ambulance unit number 815, together with the town's agreement to furnish certain facilities and to reimburse certain expenses associated with providing such ambulance service. Public hearing will be held at Boston Town Hall, 8500 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, on Wednesday, January 5th, 2022 at 7:30 p.m. All persons interested in the matter shall be heard for or against at such time and place. That was dated December 1st, 2021, published December 10th, 2021, by the order of the town board, Sandra L. Quinlan, town clerk. And we did make the change, and notice was provided for the record that we did go virtual due to the current COVID-19 pandemic. So I will open up the floor for any public comment pertaining to the Boston Emergency Squad contract.
Thank you.
Okay, again, just a friendly reminder, if any residents are on, is a *6 on your phone if you're dialing in with a landline phone to unmute your phone. And again, kindly *6 to mute your phone. I'll pause for another couple moments. Okay, with no comments on the public hearing, I will close the floor. All right, moving along tonight, we have number one for preliminary matters. We have no other preliminary matters tonight after the public hearing, so we'll move on to item number two, regular business. Item number one is the correction and adoption of the minutes from the December 15th, 2021 town board meeting. And Councilwoman Sully, would you like to take that item tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. After reviewing the minutes of December 15th, I would like to make an a recommendation to adopt the minutes from December 15th, 2021.
I second.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carticchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number two this evening under regular business is the consideration of all fund bills. And Councilwoman Lukacek, would you like to take that item tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. After reviewing the abstracts for the total payables of journal number PA-2966 and journal number AP-2967. I make a recommendation that we approve the total of $198,090.43.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carticchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, moving along to item number three tonight under our agenda for correspondence. We have one letter from the New York State Department of State, and this is for our comprehensive plan update grant funding that we were awarded in the amount of $63,000. That has been received and filed with the town clerk's office. Moving on to new business tonight under our agenda, item number four is request from the floor. Number one we've already addressed. That had a timeline to it. So item number two is request from the floor. If any residents are on the phone, call tonight and they'd choose to speak, please unmute yourself once again by pressing *6 on your phone, or with your smart device you have the ability to mute and unmute your microphone. And please state your name, address, and you have 3 minutes time limit for speaking. I will open up the floor.
Jay Jackson, 7964 Back Creek Road. For my congratulations and support to our recently elected officials. Keep up the good work.
All right, I'll pause another couple moments. Once again, *6 to unmute your phone. All right, with no comments, I will close the floor and keep us moving right along. All right, under new business, item number three tonight is our appointments for our town members. And Councilwoman Martin, would you like to take the appointments tonight?
Certainly, Supervisor. Thank you. Our list of 2022 appointments are as follows. Karen Miller for full-time court clerk, term ending, 12/31/22. All these are term ending 12/31/22. Rebecca Nudek, court clerk part-time. John Sabenek, court clerk part-time. Daniel Mulay, court officer part-time. Kyle Calabrese, prosecutor, part-time. Ashley Carmazin, assessment clerk, part-time. Margaret Dirk, deputy town clerk, full-time. Constance Burwalt, deputy town clerk, part-time. Thomas Murphy, code enforcement officer, full-time. William Ferguson, code enforcement officer, part-time. Jennifer Cabarello, board clerk, part-time. Marianne Cumming Roble, highway clerk, part-time. Linda Sherry, dog control officer, part-time. Sharon Bulger, nutrition program director, part-time. Lori Valentine, assistant nutrition director, part-time. Patricia Heist, assistant nutrition director, part-time. Donna Linnell, sub-assistant nutrition director, part-time. Sean Vanderdoes, town hall laborer, part-time. Robert Tilak, parks superintendent. Scott Fellows, parks laborer, full-time. Barry Decker, parks laborer, full-time. Amanda Jensen, parks laborer, full-time. Matthew Whiting, emergency manager. Allison Kozer, event coordinator. Jacob Carb III, liaison to the Cobble Hill Cemetery. Sandra Quinlan, marriage officer. Sandra Quinlan, records management officer. Sandra Quinlan, registrar of vital statistics. Margaret Dirk, deputy registrar of vital statistics. Sarah D. her name always catches me up. Des Jardins, town planner. And then Supervisor Keating made the following appointments. Allison Kozer, assistant to supervisor, full-time. Ellie Perisak, bookkeeper, budget director, full-time. Richard Hawkins, deputy supervisor. And Frank Gamble, town historian, part-time. I make a motion to accept these appointments.
A second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carticchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number four tonight under new business is the committee and liaison appointments. Councilman Carticchini, would you like to take those tonight?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. The 2022 committee appointments, the audit committee is town board members and Drescher Malecki, traffic safety and roadways, chairwoman, it's Councilwoman Selby, insurance chairman, Councilwoman Lukacek, attorney for the town Costello, town clerk Quinlan, the IT committee chairman, Councilwoman Martin, supervisor Kozer, investment advisory chairman, Councilman Carticchini, attorney for the town Costello, town board, designated representatives from the Boston, North Boston, and Patch and Fire Companies, solid waste and refuse chairman, Councilwoman Selby, town clerk Quinlan, inspection chairman, code enforcement officer, and the town board, cable TV chairman, Councilwoman Lukacek, attorney for the town Costello, drainage chairman, Councilwoman Selby, highway superintendent Elak, town engineer, zoning review chairman, town prosecutor, Councilwoman Martin, code enforcement officer, and zoning chairwoman Root. Safety chairwoman is town clerk Quinlan, highway superintendent Tilak, Councilwoman Lukacek, and Councilman Carticchini. Recreation chairman, Councilman Carticchini, highway superintendent Tilak, Councilwoman Martin. And records management chairwoman, town clerk, Sandra Quinlan. I make a motion that we adopt the 2022 committee appointments.
I'm on the back.
Mike, there's a backside.
That deferred compensation chairwoman, bookkeeper Parasak, supervisor Keating, town clerk Quinlan, Councilman Carticchini, capital improvement chairman, supervisor Keating, town grant writer, attorney for the town, Costello, town engineer, and Councilwoman Selby, Office of Emergency Management Director Matthew Whiting, Supervisor Keating, Councilwoman Martin, Councilman Cardichini, Christmas lighting, Councilman Cardichini, Park Superintendent Tilak, Grant Writer Liaison, Councilwoman Lukacek. With those additions, I make a motion that we adopt 2022 committee appointments.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, and also part of that, it is part of number four, but we can make another motion. That's all right. There is also the 2022 town board liaison assignments. I'll go through this. It's no problem. So the town board and I, we discussed these, and I'd like to make the motion as follows. Jennifer Lukacek is the planning board liaison, Boston Community Foundation liaison, hazardous materials liaison, insurance liaison, parks and recreation liaison, cable TV liaison, and safety committee liaison. Councilman Cardichini, Michael Cardichini, is the fire department liaison, fire benefit program, Christmas lighting, recreation, and Chamber of Commerce liaison. And there's going to be a new appointment this year that was discussed in our work session, and the town is going to appoint a Councilman Cardichini to the veterans liaison. Councilman Kathy Selby is going to be the liaison for drainage, streets and lighting, traffic, highway safety, historical society, solid waste and water districts, and Councilwoman Kelly Martin, liaison for the Boston Emergency Squad, the Senior Citizens Nutrition Program, Conservation Advisory Council, and Zoning Board. I'd like to make a motion to approve those liaison appointments.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, moving along, under new business item number five is to establish the salary schedule. And Councilwoman Selby, would you like to take that item tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I'm going to read off the position and the salary for each of the appointed officials for the town of Boston. The assistant to the supervisor, full-time, $41,595 a year. Bookkeeper, full-time, $52,894 a year. Deputy supervisor, $1,092 a year. Budget director, $3,640 a year. Events coordinator, $2,600 a year. Court clerk, full-time, $47,282 a year. Court clerk, part-time, $18.24 an hour. Court officer, two of them, part-time, $6,131 a year. Prosecutor, that's part-time, $16,852 a year. Assessor, full-time, $51,770 a year. Assessment, part-time, $18.24 an hour. Deputy town clerk, full-time, $37,954 a year. Deputy town clerk, part-time, $18.24 an hour. Code enforcer, full-time, $25 an hour. Code enforcer, part-time, $23.50 an hour. Highway court clerk, part-time secretary, $18.24 an hour. Dog control officer, part-time, $13,700 a year. Nutrition program director, $14.32 an hour. Assistant nutrition program director, there's two of them, $14.32 an hour. Park superintendent, $9,000 a year. Parks an hour. Two full-time part-time parks laborers at $18.24 an hour. Cobble Hill Cemetery Liaison, $300 a year. Town Historian, $3,692 a year. And the Highway Department is per the collective bargaining agreement. Elected officials as follows. Supervisor, $41,371 a year. Four councilmen, actually two councilmen, two councilwomen, at $9,100 a year. Highway Superintendent, $72,430 a year. Town Clerk, $50,644 a year. And two town justices, part-time, at $20,264 a year. I'd like to make a motion to adopt this 2022.
I'll second.
I'll second, but it's three councilwomen, one councilman.
Sorry. That's
all right. Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Caratacchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yeah.
Motion carried.
All right, moving right along. Item number six is to set the payment of salaries under new business tonight. And Councilwoman, would you like to take that item?
You kind of cut out. I'm assuming you meant me.
Yes, Councilwoman Lukacek, would you like to take that? Sorry.
Okay, the set payment of salaries biweekly to the town clerk, deputy town clerk, supervisor, assistant to supervisor, bookkeeper, court clerks, assessor, assessment clerk, board clerk, code enforcement, nutrition directors, town hall laborer, parks laborers, highway superintendent, highway clerk, MEOs, I'm assuming that's maintenance equipment operators, truck drivers, and highway laborers. All other positions are paid on a monthly basis. I make a motion we approve.
Second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Caratacchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
And Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, moving right along. Item number seven tonight is the designation of depositories. And Councilwoman Martin, would you like to take that item tonight?
Yes, Supervisor. I make a motion for the designation of depositories as the North Boston branch of the Evans National Bank for the supervisor, town clerk, tax collector, and town justices. Participation in New York Cooperative Liquid Asset Security System for the supervisor, town clerk, and tax collector. I make a motion to approve that.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Caratacchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number eight tonight under new business is to set dates and times for regular and work session meetings. Councilman Caratacchini, would you like to take that out?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I'd like to make a motion to set the dates and times for regular monthly meetings and agenda review. The town board meeting will be scheduled as follows. The first and third Wednesday of the month at 7:30 p.m. and the agenda review will be set as following, the first and third Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. I make a motion that we adopt the scheduled dates and times for the regular meetings and agenda review.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Caratacchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number 9 tonight under new business is to designate the official newspaper for the town. And Councilwoman Lukacek, would you like to take that item?
Yes, Mr. Supervisor. I make a motion that we designate the official newspaper to be the Hamburg Sun.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number 10 is to appoint to the Nest Solid Waste Management Board. And Councilwoman Selby, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I'd like to make a motion to accept the appointment of Supervisor Jason Keating to the Nest Solid Waste Management Board.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number 11 tonight is to direct town clerk to send letters of refuse to collectors for the annual licenses. And Councilwoman Martin, would you like to take that item?
Yes, Supervisor. I make a motion to direct the town clerk to send letters to refuse collectors that their annual licenses are due.
I'm second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number 12 under new business tonight is to authorize the supervisor and tax collector to invest surplus monies. Councilman Cardichini, would you like to take that item?
Yes, thank you, Supervisor Keating. I'd like to make a motion that we authorize the supervisor and the tax collector to invest surplus monies. This authorization includes participation in New York Cooperative Liquid Asset Security System, NY Class.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. And item number 13 tonight under new business is to set the town's investment policy. And Councilwoman Selby, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I'd like to make a motion to adopt the following investment policy. Investment policy previously adopted by the town board where idle town monies may be invested, subject to any further regulation from the state controller pursuant to Section 39 of General Municipal Law as follows. Obligation of federal government, treasury notes, treasury bills, etc. Obligation of federal agency, guaranteed by the government, obligations by the state of New York, certificates of deposits in commercial banks which are FDIC insured, regular saving accounts, money market accounts in commercial bank, if proper securities are provided for all monies invested in excess of the amount secured by the FDIC. And tax anticipation notes and revenue anticipation notes of another municipality, district, corporation, or school district of any other investment not listed will require prior approval by the town board and be in conformance with all state statutes. The town supervisor will keep a record of all such investments and provide a report to all town board members monthly. I'd like to make a motion to have this investment policy adopted.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number 14 under new business tonight is to authorize the signature stamp for the town supervisor. Councilman Cardi-Keene, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I'd like to make the motion to authorize the use of the signature stamp for the supervisor.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Salvi?
Yes.
Councilman Cardi-Keene?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number 15 under new business tonight is to set the mileage rate paid by the town. Councilwoman Martin, would you like to take that item?
Yes, Supervisor. I make a motion to set the 2022 IRS rate of 58.5 cents per mile as a reimbursement.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardi-Keene?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number 16 under new business tonight is authorize to allow lending funds from one account to the other. Councilwoman Lukacik, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I make a motion that we authorize the supervisor to lend funds from one account to another.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardi-Keene?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, number 17 under new business tonight is to set the hours for the New York State retirement reporting. And Councilwoman Selby, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I'd like to make a motion to assign the following to be reported for New York State retirement purposes for elected and appointed town personnel, with 6 hours being designated as a work day. Town Justice, Supervisor, Code Enforcement, part-time, Prosecutor, Assessment Clerk, Highway Clerk, Town Hall Labor, Nutrition Program Director, Historian, Councilman, Deputy Supervisor, Deputy Town Clerk, part-time, Board Clerk, part-time, Court Officer, part-time, Dog Control Officer, Event Coordinator. The work days and reporting for full time are as follows. The following work days are to be reported for New York State retirement for elected and appointed town personnel as full time based on 7 hours a work day for New York State retirement purposes. Town clerk, bookkeeper, superintendent of highways, assessor, deputy town clerk full time, assistant to supervisor, court clerk full time. Assign the following workdays to be reported for New York State retirement purposes for elected and appointed town personnel as full-time based on an 8-hour workday for New York State retirement purposes are for the parks, labor, highway, MEOs, truck drivers, and laborers. I'd like to make a motion for the requirement for New York State retirement.
Second.
Councilwoman Selby? Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardi-Keene?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
You know, I just want to, I guess, make an amendment on that motion, and this is my fault. I apologize. The new position of full-time code should actually be listed 7 hours a day. That's my fault, so my apologies, board members. But yes, I'd like to make a motion to amend the motion that's on the floor to 7 hours a day for full-time code. And my apologies, Councilwoman Selby.
Thank you.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
I'll
second that, or I'm sorry.
Okay, I apologize. Also, Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes. And to the amendment, yes.
Okay. And Councilwoman Martin?
Yes, and yes to the amendment.
Motion carried.
All right. Again, my apologies, folks. Sorry about that. Item number 18 under new business tonight is to establish a petty cash fund. And Councilman Cardicchini, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I'd like to make a motion that we set our petty cash funds to be $300 for the town clerk and $300 for the town justice.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Number 19 under new business tonight is to set the town's holiday schedule. And Councilwoman Lukacek, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. For 2022 year employee holidays are as follows. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, January 17th, Monday. President's Day, February 21st, Monday. Good Friday, April 15th, Friday. Memorial Day, May 30th, Monday. Juneteenth observed, June 20th, Monday. Independence Day, July 4th, Monday. Labor Day, September 5th, Monday. Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, October 10th, Monday. Election Day, November 8th, Tuesday. Veterans Day, November 11th, Friday. Thanksgiving Day, November 24th, Thursday. The day after Thanksgiving, November 25th, Friday. Christmas Eve observed, December 23rd, Friday. Christmas observed, December 26th, Monday. And New Year's Day observed, January 2nd, 2023, Monday. Please note, this holiday schedule does not apply to highway employees. We need to refer to the collective bargaining agreement. I make a motion we approve the 2022 employee holidays.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, moving along. Item number 20 tonight under new business is the 284 agreement to spend town highway funds that has not been received at the town clerk's office. So I would like to make a motion to table that until a later date. And just for the record, that highway funds cannot be spent until that 284 agreement has been filed.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number 21 is Resolution 2022-01 for the town's procurement policy. Councilwoman Martin, would you like to take that item?
Yes, I make a motion to approve Resolution 2022-01, which is the town's procurement policy, which is quite lengthy, so I'm not going to read it all. But it has been filed, and I make a motion to accept this agreement or this resolution.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini? I'm sorry, Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number 22 tonight under new business is Resolution 2022-02 to adopt the town schedule of fees. Councilwoman Lukacik, would you like to take that item?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. After the review of our current schedule of fees, they are some of them are a bit outdated, but at this point, I will make a motion that we adopt the Resolution 2022-02, the adoption of schedule of fees, that was noted on January 5th, today, 2022.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number 23 in a new business, Resolution 2022-03, for Clark Patterson Lee to serve as the primary town engineer. Councilman Carichini, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I'd like to make a motion that we approve Resolution 2022-03, which establishes Clark Patterson Lee to serve as the primary town engineer. Clark Patterson Lee has presented a proposal to provide municipal engineering services to the town. Has the experience, resources, and qualifications to handle specific municipal engineering needs of the town of Boston. And the supervisor is hereby authorized on behalf of the town of Boston to engage Clark Patterson Lee for town engineering needs at the rate set forth in that firm's proposal. I make a motion that we adopt Resolution 2022-03.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number 24 tonight under new business is Resolution 2022-04 for LaBella and Associates to serve as the secondary engineer. And Councilwoman Selby, would you like to take that item tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2022-04 to appoint LaBella Associates to serve as secondary town engineer, where we know their experience, resource, and qualifications to handle our specific municipal engineering needs. And we are setting the rates still from the 2018 rates of September. So I would like to make a motion to approve this resolution.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number 25 tonight is Resolution 2022-05 for Connie Dean Minor and Company Grant Consultants to serve as the municipal grant writer. Councilwoman Lukacik, would you like to take that item?
I would be happy to. We have Resolution 2022-05 for Connie Dean Minor and Company as the town's grant consultant and grant writer. She has presented us a proposal for grant writing services totaling $16,500 per year, payable monthly at $1,375. She has been performing fantastically over the last number of years, and I hope to keep up the good work. So, and with her endeavors, we'll be very busy these next few years. So
I make a motion that we approve resolution number 2022-05.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number 26 tonight under new business is resolution 2022-06, authorizing a contract for general ambulance service with the Town of Boston Emergency Squad Incorporated. Councilwoman Martin, would you like to take that item?
Yes, Supervisor, thank you. I'm making a motion to approve resolution number 2022-06, which is authorizing the contract for the general ambulance service with the Boston Emergency Squad. Basically what that entails is they are offering their services and, as the current provider to the town, which they've been doing an exemplary, service for our residents. So I make a motion to approve their contract.
Second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number 27 tonight under new business is resolution 2022-07, which is the agreement with the Boston Free Library Association. And Councilwoman Selby, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I would like to make a motion to approve resolution number 2022-07 to approve the agreement with the Boston Free Library Association, whereas education law section 256 permits the town to grant money for the support of the cost of maintaining the library, and the SNOW Board, we're going to have the supervisor hereby authorized on behalf of the town to enter this agreement for the period starting January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022 for the Boston Free Library permit town use of community room and serve as additional depository factors filed for public inspection. So the authorized we're authorized to pay the Boston Free Library a sum of $1,000 for this agreement.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number 28 this evening under new business is approval for Jared Pitcher to begin duty as a Boston Volunteer Fire Company firefighter. Councilman Cardicchini, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. At this time, I'm pleased to make a motion to place Jared Pitcher into service with the Boston Fire Company. Congratulations to him on volunteering in his community.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item 29 tonight under new business is the application for use of facility for Renee, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Haley Scott. And Councilwoman Lukacek, would you like to take that item?
Yes, sir. Mr. Supervisor, Renee Hadley Scott has requested the Boston Town Park Lions Shelter and bathroom facilities for a family communion party on June 11th, 2022. Set up time approximately 12:30 p.m. and take down about 8 p.m. I make a motion. They are serving alcohol. They are having a private party.
And I am anticipating that the town clerk's office has already identified that that is a free availability.
Yes, that date is available.
Thank you very much. I make a motion we approve Renee Hadley Scott's request.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number 30 this evening under new business is the application for use facility again. This one is for the Town of Boston Conservation Advisory Council. Councilwoman Martin, would you like to take that item?
Certainly, Supervisor. I make a motion to approve the application for use of facility for the Town of Boston Conservation Advisory Council for the date of February 19th, 2022. Which it's a rain date, it really should be a no snow date because it is for our snowshoe event. So the opposite date would be the 26th of February if we have no snow. And that's going to be happening between 10 and 2 p.m. Setup is 9 a.m., takedown is 3 p.m., and that is for the use of the town hall community room with kitchen and bathroom facilities.
I will second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Last item under new business tonight, item number 31, which is the application for use of town meeting facility for the early elementary South Town homeschoolers. And Councilman Cardichini, would you like to take that item?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. We have an application for use of town meeting facility by the early elementary South Town homeschoolers. Amanda Kessler is the coordinator, and they are requesting the town hall community room without kitchen. Following dates, all starting at 1:30 p.m., January 10th, February 15th, March 15th, April 26th, and May 16th. The amount of attendees they expect are 20 to 30. Town clerk, is our community room available on these dates and times?
Yes, those dates and times are available.
Thank you. I make a motion that we adopt the application for the use of town meeting facility by the early elementary South Towns homeschoolers.
A second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, and board members, one thing, and I do apologize, I should have caught this when we were going through, my apologies. I know we had some discussion in our work session earlier, but I would like to make an amendment to item number 6 under new business tonight where we set the payment of salaries, and again, my apologies, I should have caught this at the motion, but based off of our discussion at the work session, I'd like to amend that motion for our full-time code enforcement officer, which was established at $25 an hour. I'd like to amend that to properly reflect the $30 per hour that we discussed at the work session.
I'll second that.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Again, my apologies and thank you. We have no other old business tonight. Starting off a new year in 2022, so we'll move on to reports and presentations. Highway Superintendent, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Supervisor Keating. First, I'd like to announce that our new blacktop roller that we've been waiting for has finally been delivered. It came in yesterday, so it'll be here for this spring when we're ready to start doing road work. The new high lift, the John Deere high lift that the board approved last board meeting on the 15th, the resolution. Well, I called on the 16th to the salesman to have him come out and talk to us, and he told me that John Deere has closed the order bank for ordering new high lifts on December 2nd. So at this point, the machine hasn't been ordered. He said sometime in January we'd probably order it, but he didn't know if there was going to be a cost increase. So if there's a cost increase, I told him we're going to have to wait till we go through the motions again. So that's what's going on with the new high lift. Christmas trees. People that are putting Christmas trees up by the road for the trash with the garbage man. I was told they were supposed to be cut in 4-foot length. So if you got a large Christmas tree, you got to cut it in 4-foot length. The last board meeting on the 15th, they approved a couple days funding for brush pickup. Well, we went out for 2 full days, picked up all the brush in town. The guys did a great job. The residents were very, very thankful for the highway department picking up their brush. Other than that, the 284 agreement, it hasn't been filled out yet. For one reason, I want to make sure I know what roads are going to be having new water lines installed on. I don't plan on oil and stone or paving roads that are going to get torn up in the near future. So once I know that, and once my crystal ball tells me what roads are going to need more repair, the town roads at this point are in excellent shape, the best I've ever seen them. County roads, on the other hand, are about in the worst shape I've ever seen them. From Zimmerman Road, where the water's coming out and the ice is forming, we had a situation like that up on Liebler Road this past year, but we fixed it in the middle of July instead of the middle of January. I mean, we dug 4 trenches, we filled them with stone, we put 4-inch perforated pipes, we dug the ditch deeper, and we put these leach lines in, and it totally solved our problem. So that's good. And as far as county roads, the shoulders on the county roads, Farner Road, Fettick Road, in front of across the street from 7880 Fettick Road, the shoulder is about 6 inches wide before it drops into a ditch that's about 8 feet deep. It is very, very dangerous. It's been like that for years. And again, the county doesn't fix anything until there's an accident and something kills. But other than that, that's all I have tonight. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Councilwoman Selby, you have the floor.
Thank you. First off, I want to congratulate all the newly appointed and reappointed town officials that were appointed tonight. I want to thank them all for all their continuous, hard, diligent work. Without awesome town officials, it makes our job so much easier. It makes everything run smoothly. And just as a town board member, I just want to sincerely thank you for your hard work. There's a lot that goes into running government behind the scenes. Things are clicking, and we appreciate your work. I look forward to this new year continuing our work with, again, Supervisor Jason Keating. Congratulations. And Councilwoman John Lukacek and Councilman Mike Hatakichi, I really enjoy working with you. We look forward to another year of getting things done. I think it's a great team effort. And Happy New Year to everybody, and stay safe, and enjoy the snow day tomorrow for your kids. That's all I have right now.
Yeah, thank you very much. And Councilman Cardichini, you have the floor.
Mispronounced it, Jason.
I've been mispronouncing it for a long time. I always thought it was Cardichini. I messed up.
I'd like to echo Councilwoman Selby's remarks regarding the appointed people. You know, we have a great roster of town employees. We've made some changes this year to some of those. But we look forward to having another great year in the town of Boston. The only thing I have tonight is I would like to extend my appreciation to the North Boston
Patchen and Boston Fire Companies for administering my oath of office on January 1st. And it was also my pleasure to install their officers in late December for the Boston Fire Company and on January 1st following my oath of office at the North Boston Fire Company. And I look forward to the invitation to do the same for the Patchen Fire Company. I'm told that's going to happen in January. And that's all I have tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. Councilwoman Lukacek, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. First, I would like to congratulate Jared Pitcher on becoming our Boston volunteer firefighter. Welcome to the town, and thank you very much for volunteering. We do have a planning board meeting that is scheduled the second Tuesday of this month. And if anyone is interested in joining any of our boards, we could always use some more members, more eyes, the better. And thank you all for voting for me and the rest of our board members that were up, Mike and Jason, thank you very much. So that's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Councilwoman Martin, you have the floor.
Thank you, Supervisor. And, yes, welcome back to Mike Cardicchini, Supervisor Keating, and John Lukacek. Very happy to have you back with, or staying with us for another term. And really the only other thing I can say is please stay safe with the snow, impending horrible weather. Everybody drive safe and stay warm.
All right, thank you. And Madam Clerk, you have the floor.
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. The Code Enforcement Officer's Report for November 2021 has been received and filed in the Town Clerk's Office. And since there was no swearing-in ceremony tonight for the appointees, I just would like to suggest that everyone could, if they were appointed this evening, to please come to my office during town hall hours of 9 and 4 to take the oath of office and sign the oath book, or call my office if there is an alternate time that would be needed. And I just wanted to thank our bookkeeper, Ellie, and the supervisor's assistant, Allison, and our attorney, Sean Costello, for all the work that goes into compiling this packet for this reorg meeting. There's a lot that goes into it, and it was a great job that everyone had done to make this run as smoothly as it did. And the town board members, thank you for making this meeting run so smoothly when there is so many times that I need to call roll call vote. So I appreciate your patience with me on that. This is one of those things I will be saying roll call in my sleep tonight, so since there is so many times that it had to be said. I did receive an Association of Towns letter. They asked that I read it at this first meeting of the year. Dear Town Clerk, this letter contains data material to be returned. The 2022 training school and annual meeting of the association will be held at the New York Marriott Marquis, February 20th to 23rd, 2022. This is a training session for town officials. The following is a brief outline of events, informational hearing, Sunday afternoon, February 20th, general opening session, Monday morning, February 21st, group sessions for various categories of town officers and special programs, follow the opening session as will be set forth in the printed program, town board members, highway and public works, town clerks, tax collecting officers, fiscal officers, planning and zoning officials, town attorneys. Breakfast with the association is Tuesday morning, February 22nd, an annual business session for official delegates Wednesday morning, February 23rd. That was mailed on December 30th, and at this point I haven't heard anything different, whether that will be taking place or not this year due to COVID. And I just wanted to add a little bit what Bob had said regarding the Christmas trees. So Waste Management will collect the Christmas trees. They have to be cut in a maximum 4-foot section. So an 8-foot tree could be cut in half, but if it's any taller than that, it has to be cut up even further than the 4-foot sections. Waste Management asked for that because it obviously for to be able to go into their truck easier. That is considered your one large item for the week. So if you were anticipating putting out another item of that or a couch or something, please hold off on that. If you want to put your Christmas tree out, that will be considered the one large item. Also, if it is buried in the snow, we're expecting snow this evening. If it is buried in the snow, Waste Management does not dig that out of the snow. It will be up to the resident to go out, take it out of the snow, and you know, make sure it is readily available for the workers to collect that. Like I said, they will not dig it out. It will stay there until the resident removes that. And as Supervisor Keating, I can't remember if you said in this part of the meeting or the work session, we do have the KN95 masks. They are available here in the town clerk's office. We'll keep them readily available at our counter. You won't come right into the clerk's office, but they will be at the counter, and we'll pass those through to you. We did notice that the elastic is somewhat tight, so it may not stretch enough to be comfortable, you know, for someone, you know, it might be uncomfortable for someone's ears. So I just wanted to put that out there, that it's made for a little bit smaller faces. So, and that is all I have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And as the town clerk has said, Erie County Emergency Services has distributed, has begun distributing the KN95. So these are not the N as in Nancy 95 masks. These are the KN95 masks. They do come in Chinese packaging. Chinese standard of the N95 mask here in the States. But again, there is an allotment for the community. There's not enough for every person. I just want to also add that in there. We received over 5,000 masks. Masks have been distributed to our senior groups, our senior congregate dining, Meals on Wheels. And then today we've, as the town clerk had stated, since they're interested in acquiring a mask, right now it's one per person, just again because we don't have enough for everybody. Please visit the town clerk's office, or they can certainly stop by my office and we will provide them to you. As more supplies become available, we will keep the town website and social media updated. Segueing over to county distribution, the county executive on his press conference did also mention that the COVID test kits will be distributed to municipalities. At this time, none have gone out. The distribution numbers that were allotted from New York State predominantly went to the school systems to get them out to the children, most specifically because there are obviously a large group of youth that are not eligible for the vaccine, at least actually up until recently, now that the FDA has authorized the COVID vaccine for a new age range. Once test kits do become available and are distributed to our community, most specifically, again, information will be shared with the public through social media and also the town website. And likely we'll follow the same process that the test kits can be picked up, the at-home test kits can be picked up at the town clerk's office or my office. With the new year, many residents probably saw this, for those that follow the social media website, with the new year brings the new service that the town clerk approved last year, the Waste Management at Your Door Special Collection Service. Again, this is for household hazardous waste, so essentially your oil-based paints, gasoline, your e-waste, which is your batteries, computers, TVs, monitors, all those things that you may have been accumulating in your garage, your basement, or just set off to the side in your room, you now have a way to get rid of that. The best way to do that is to call Waste Management. That number is 1-800-449-7587. Again, that's 1-800-449-7587. 949-7587. There's also a website, which is wmatyourdoor.com, and the resident can schedule a time for that collection. Waste Management will send you a packet in the mail for any, let's say, paint thinner, things of that nature. In that packet, we'll have a plastic bag to ensure that it's safely contained and it doesn't leak. But if the label has fallen off the item, please use one of the supplied stickers and write what's on there, paint thinner, mineral spirits, what have you. And please label the items clearly so they can be properly and safely collected, disposed of, and recycled. All these details are out on the town website under the solid waste and recycling link. And as always, they can certainly contact the town hall should they have any questions. Many other board members and everyone else, I certainly want to congratulate all of our town employees for being appointed and reappointed this year. I couldn't agree more. We've got a great team. It continues to actually grow, which is a good sign. Looking forward to working with our team in the new year, and we do have a lot of great projects going on. I certainly want to thank the residents. I'm now entering my second term as your town supervisor. Thank you for putting the trust in me. Looking forward to working with the town board. Likewise, we have a great town board. I enjoy working with the team here and making a lot of forward progress over the next 4 years. I did want to just kind of follow up there. Just as a recap of a little bit of last year, for those that are on the call this year, there are some big projects going on in the community, and the highway superintendent certainly alluded to one of them, and that's going to be water. There will be quite a few water projects going on, and once we get those dates and times, that information will be shared, of course, with our highway crew and also the community, so you can be aware of where this group is going on. But we do have a community development block grant project going on for water line replacement down on north side, south side, and Ripple. We also have water phase one, which is going to be the north side of town up by the 219. We're finalizing that location and those projects, but it'll be going out to bid in the near future. We also have based off the grant money that was been awarded, as Councilwoman Lukacek alluded to, we have we're excited to update our comprehensive plan for the town. We'll be looking out to all of you and the public for stopping by the work sessions and possibly creating some committees for public feedback and insight and what the residents want to see in our community. That information will be forthcoming this year. We have a North Boston Park project going on to update the old snack shack/pavilion to make it a more modern pavilion. And last but not least, we're updating our heating and cooling system in our community room. So a lot going on in 2022 to kick it off. Looking forward to it, and it'll certainly keep us all quite busy. And really, thanks to our grant writer. She's been fantastic. And actually, the past 4 years as town supervisor, I'm very happy to say that we've been able to partner with our grant writer and bring in just under $1 million in grant funds. It's absolutely huge for our community. So I can't thank Connie Miner enough for her time and her effort for our community. She's always done a great job. Last thing I'm going to end on is Connect Life. There are blood drives. I just saw a post go out to social media today. If anyone is even newly interested in contributing or donating blood, please do. There's a severe shortage in our area right now. The pandemic, sadly, has not made anything any easier on any of us. Certainly one of the, if you're interested in donating blood or have donated blood, please stay tuned to social media or follow Connect Life's website for dates, times, and information to sign up for that event. But again, that is a situation where there is a dire need for blood right now. That's all I have. This is our longest meeting of the year, so I will make a motion to end the meeting at 8:41 p.m. according to my clock.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Salvi?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.